D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Today on Truths That Transform, we see how the great moral, ethical, and cultural questions of our time are touching every aspect of our lives.
Before the state, before the church, God created the oldest institution on this planet, and that is the institution of marriage.
Marriage, sexuality, and gender are all under attack in America and the Western world.
XX chromosomes, XY chromosomes, these have been what make men men and women women. And we're now punishing people in medicine and in science for acknowledging those scientific truths, not just religious truths, but scientific truths.
It's time for a reality check. We look to God's Word for sanity in a world confused about the basics on today's Truths That Transform. Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. As you know, America is coming to a point of decision in 2020. Will we be a free nation governed by an ingenious constitution that guarantees our God-given liberties? Or will we plunge over the cliff into the abyss of secular socialism? Will we stand for one nation under God? Or will we let the radical elitists on the left strike the final blow in remaking our society into a dystopian quagmire of insanity, where even concepts as basic as male and female are done away with? On today's program, and all this month, we'll look at some of the fundamental moral, ethical, and cultural questions of our time. And you'll see how the left's agenda is undermined by the truth of God's Word. And you'll also find out what you can do about it. As we begin today, if you want a good look at where the radical left would like to take us, look no farther than England, where a medical doctor was fired by the government, which is in charge of all British healthcare, because he refused to refer to a man as a she. Our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb has more.
As a Christian doctor, I believe it makes me a better doctor to be a Christian and a doctor, and I need freedom of conscience in order to practice medicine.
Dr. David McAreth from England is a devout Christian who has served as an emergency doctor for more than a quarter of a century, but he's now been fired for refusing to call a biological man a woman.
This doctor referred to that person according to their biological sex because he believes that medicine needs to have integrity, which is based upon biological reality. And as a result, he was terminated from his position, and then a British court found for the hospital that terminated him, saying that his beliefs were incompatible with human rights. The ruling of the British court is very unfortunate, but what we see around the world and in the United States is that people are using sexual orientation and gender identity ideology and weaponizing it to oppress religious freedom. And one of the ways they're doing that is by writing it into the law, particularly into non-discrimination laws, and treating it as it should be a government orthodoxy, which leads to the punishment of people like this doctor in England who dissent from this new sexual orthodoxy.
The court in that case against the British doctor said, quote, "Belief in Genesis 1:27, lack of belief in transgenderism and conscientious objection to transgenderism, in our judgment, are incompatible with human dignity and conflict with the fundamental rights of others, specifically here, transgender individuals," end quote.
The ironic thing here is that the only thing that gives us human dignity is that we are created by God. We have human rights, we have natural rights because God gave those to us. And it's quite silly to go down this road where you're starting to say that the Bible is incompatible with human dignity and teaching what's in the Bible is incompatible with human dignity. It's all part of the same thing. And the idea that we're now firing people for not just embracing the Bible, but embracing science, right? These are things, XX chromosomes, XY chromosomes, these have been what make men men and women women. And we're now punishing people in medicine and in science for acknowledging those scientific truths, not just religious truths, but scientific truths. And it's a real dystopian world.
There is no right to make other people lie about who you are. And yet that's what we're facing here. This is a lot like the communist rule in the Soviet Union and in other communist countries, where people were forced to lie if they wanted to keep their jobs. We ought to be able to speak the truth, speak it in love, but speak the truth, and not be punished by our own government.
There have been similar cases in the United States where people have been fired from their jobs because they wanted to use biologically correct and accurate pronouns and names. So there was a teacher in Virginia, Peter Vlaming, who was fired from his high school because he called a student by the correct pronouns. Similarly, there was a college professor, Nicholas Meriwether, at Sewanee State, who was fired for the same reason. So we see this imposition of political correctness through the law that is leading to punishment of dissenters, who oftentimes are people with religious beliefs.
It's a world of the emperor's new clothes, where everybody is afraid to tell the king he wasn't wearing anything except one little boy who spoke the truth. We're going to have more of those little boys that we're all going to be wearing muzzles someday, afraid to speak the truth.
In this term, the Supreme Court is dealing with three LGBTQ cases, one of which involves a transgender case.
The case involving gender identity is called Harris Funeral Homes. In that case, Thomas Rost is a Christian who owns a funeral home in Michigan, which his family has run for over 100 years, and he employed a funeral home director named, his last name was Stevens. And now Mr. Stevens, he eventually decided that he wanted to become a woman. He began to identify as transgender. And so he told Mr. Ross that he planned to come to the funeral home dressed as a woman and wanted to be treated as a woman. Now, Mr. Ross told Mr. Stevens he didn't feel comfortable with him dressing as a woman. They had a sex-specific dress code. He wanted to stop wearing a suit and start to wear a skirt suit. And because they Mr. Stevens couldn't abide by this policy, they ended up parting ways. Mr. Stevens then sued Mr. Rost for discrimination on the basis of sex. The Equal Employment Opportunity Commission got involved, and Mr. Stevens won in the lower court, and it got all the way up to the Supreme Court when Mr. Rost appealed.
Critics note that perhaps the biggest concern about the transgender issue is the way in which it infringes on religious freedom. In a country founded by Christians for religious liberty, which we extended to everyone else, too often Christians are losing religious freedom.
If the LGBTQ activists and the transgender activists are part of that, get their way, they will effectively criminalize Christianity. They'll say that your biblical beliefs are a form of bigotry actionable under the law, and will use the full apparatus of the civil rights powers of the government to come after you. That we'd no longer be a free country. We'd be a country living under an authoritarian government. And there's already a whiff of that in the air, where people are afraid to say anything.
All people have dignity and should be treated with respect, including those who identify as transgender. And particularly with children, we should be very careful in the way that we treat gender dysphoria. It's true that 80 to 95% of children with gender dysphoria, if they are not administered puberty blockers or cross-sex hormones, that they do eventually become comfortable with their bodies after puberty. And so that's why we should be especially cautious with children, to give them a chance to mature and to become comfortable with their bodies.
I think that in about 5 to 10 years, there will be a lot of malpractice lawsuits that are starting up from all of these children who are being pushed through these gender therapy clinics, where they're having psychological, you know, treatment being given to them that's screwing them up, and then also the hormone treatments. They're injecting them with puberty blockers. They're injecting them with testosterone. They're giving them estrogen, and these are little kids who can't even consent to sexual activity or to get tattoos or to have medicine. But we're letting them consent to sex changes, essentially. And there's going to be a lot of malpractice lawsuits, and I think that that doctor is probably pretty lucky compared to had he gone along with this over the next 5 to 10 years. He'll probably be going through a lot of lawsuits if he didn't.
In this pivotal election year, what would happen if all three branches of government were dominated by the anti-God agenda championed by the successors of Karl Marx?
We'd no longer be a free country. We'd be a country living under an authoritarian government. And there's already a whiff of that in the air.
Veteran journalist Robert Knight's brand new book, written exclusively for this ministry, The Coming Communist Wave, What Happens If the Left Captures All Three Branches of Government, will open your eyes to the threats we're facing today.
See, that's what's so scary about this drift away from Christian values and why Christians have to get more involved in the public square.
Contact us today to receive your copy of The Coming Communist Wave, which details how socialism's ultimate destination is communism.
As you're seeing all around us, the radical left's goal is to remake our nation down to its very foundations. Everything old must go. Our history, our morality, our God, our basic structures of society, and it must be replaced by sexual anarchy, individual autonomy, and godless secularism. The most basic building block of any society is the family. So naturally, that's where the revolutionaries strike hardest. If you're going to fundamentally transform a society, in the words of former President Obama, you must start by upending the family. And that's exactly what has happened in the redefinition of marriage. Here's Dr. D. James Kennedy with more in this portion of his timeless message, The Importance of Marriage.
Before the state, before the church, God created the oldest institution on this planet, and that is the institution of marriage. It is the oldest and the most universal of all of God's institutions. Wherever you would go in this world today, whatever continent, whatever nation, you would find that there men and women are joined together in the bonds of matrimony and our rearing families. Today, I want to talk to you about the importance of marriage at a very critical time in the life of marriage. Remarkably, that in the entire history of the human race, what has happened in just the last few years, a millisecond in the history of mankind, where there is a massive effort to destroy that institution, an effort which is making ominously large strides forward. But as far as the biblical record is concerned, God created one man for one woman. So it was in the beginning. It's really awesome to think, gentlemen, that God took a part of a man and tailor-made woman for him. We were made for each other by divine design. So it was seen in the Old Testament, also the New. Christ performed his first miracle at a wedding in Cana of Galilee. When they talked about the departures in the Old Testament to Christ and some that had taken numbers of wives, Christ said that was due because of the hardness of their hearts. But it was not so from the beginning. And he brought them back to the very creation of the human race and what God has done. It is of historical and biblical importance, and it is basic and essential to the culture in which we live. This nation has been built upon good families, and that has been the strength of every nation. Even Napoleon Bonaparte said that what was needed was good mothers, women, in families rearing children, and with that France would be strong, he said. He was a very perceptive man. It's important for culture, it's important for the individuals, it's important for the husbands, and it's important to the wives. But marriage has been under assault like it has never seen before in the last few decades. There was the no-fault assault, where lawyers, politicians decided they were just going to make it easier to get a divorce. The result was the skyrocketing of the divorce rate in America. One recent sociologist said that there are mountains of evidence that show there never was a law passed that brought so much misery and unhappiness to so many people as the no-fault divorce. There are some of you who probably have been through that. It has been indeed tragic. The basic reason for marriage was that men and women might not only have their own lives fulfilled and strengthened and might grow in grace together, but also they would provide a safe and healthy place to rear children in this world. The most current one is the homosexual assault on a marriage, and this is more serious than anyone before it, because here they are trying to destroy the very institution of marriage, to redefine it, and they have been amazingly successful. Well, what does a homosexual marriage look like? Well, the longest term that we have to take a look at it is in the Netherlands, and one sociologist made a study of that, found out that the average marriage between two men lasts 1.5 years. Furthermore, that during that time, men have 8 other sexual partners per year. And this idea of until death do you part and monogamous relationships is utterly abominable to them. Well, then what do they want? Well, they've said what they want is to destroy marriage altogether. They don't want to become like us, as so many naive people think. What they want to do is make us like them and open the door to all kinds of sexual chaos. If 2 men can get married, what about 3? Or 5? That's called polyamora and many loves and group marriage. And all such things as this are already in the wings and they're waiting to be filed in our courts. It would produce absolute cultural chaos in this country. Mother and father, husband and wife would be old-fashioned things in a generation. This nation would be unrecognizable. This is the most dangerous attack on marriage that the world has ever seen. Marriage is vitally important. It was obviously felt to be so by God, who made it the first institution that he created, and that with his own hands. We need, in our day, to defend it as best that we can.
As Dr. Kennedy pointed out in his message, this isn't really about who can marry whom. This is about the destruction of marriage itself as an institution. We shouldn't be surprised. The forefathers of the modern left, Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels, called for the abolition of the family in their Communist Manifesto. The left wants to undo the traditional family, convolute gender and sex roles, and turn public education into propaganda, and cover over God-designed differences until we are only left with a compliant, sexless, mindless mass of people who are easy to control. Christianity is the greatest impediment to that agenda, and so it must go too. And yet many people, including even uninformed Christians, think it is a perfectly acceptable political outlook, and they could not be more wrong. That's why we commissioned veteran journalist Robert Knight to write a book that I believe every Christian needs to read before the upcoming elections this year. It's called The Coming Communist Wave. What happens if the left captures all three branches of government? This timely book will help you connect the dots between the insanity spouted by many major party candidates today and the anti-God, anti-family, anti-America agenda championed by the successors of Karl Marx. It includes chapters on how the media peddles socialism and insanity, the communist record in the world, and how the current generation is being indoctrinated. And it includes a plan for how we can counter it. Let us send you a copy of the brand new book, The Coming Communist Wave by Robert Knight, as our thanks for your generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry. This book is only available through this ministry. You can't find it online or in bookstores. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677, or you can go online to djkm.org. And if you are able to give a generous donation of $50 or more, we will send you the book plus our new DVD special, Freedom at Risk: The Left's Attack on Religious Liberty. This DVD program exposes the efforts to secularize America and squelch Christianity, including documentary features on an 84-year-old widow who faced eviction from her California veterans home for sharing the gospel, a bill passed in Congress stripping away constitutional religious protections, and a school that was raided by police for refusing to agree with the LGBT agenda. That's the book by Robert Knight, The Coming Communist Wave: What Happens If the Left Captures All Three Branches of Government, as well as the new DVD program, Freedom at Risk, as our thanks for your generous donation of $50 or more. And as you give, you are helping us to spread the word through our national outreaches, which have never been more important in this vital year of decision for our nation. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677, or go online to djkm.org. One of the bemusing hallmarks of leftism is the notion that you can make the world be what you want it to be simply by declaring it so. Ignoring all truth about basic human nature, physical laws, and scientific reality, the left assures us, for instance, that if we just make laws against guns, mass shootings will stop. despite the fact that the worst mass shootings take place in so-called gun-free zones, like schools and nightclubs and festivals that leave innocent people completely unprotected. The communist government of China famously dealt with its famine in the 1950s simply by decreeing better crop yields. Stuck with higher quotas and other factors remaining the same, farmers overplanted and actually made the famine even worse. And now we are assured that male and female are not basic biological human realities, but are instead simply whatever we declare them to be. In the Lewis Carroll world of the political left, someone with male genes, chromosomes, and organs is actually a female, if he simply declares it so. All historic and societal norms are simply jettisoned. Instead, we are ruled simply by the internal, subjective whim of each individual. But let's be clear. This is also a form of cultural suicide, quite literally the death of objective meaning or coherence. If words and concepts are infinitely malleable, changing their meaning person by person, minute by minute, then common language and even shared reality are not possible. The clinical definition of insanity is to lose contact with reality, and the left is formalizing the notion that there is no reality to be in contact with. They are trying to make literal insanity the governing premise of the world. But it's high time, and with no apologies to the left, for a reality check. The power to decree the very nature of reality belongs to God alone, and He has told us what it is. There is truth and falsehood, good and evil, male and female, and these don't change on a whim. Make no mistake, any who attempt to remake reality by fiat are trying to usurp God and casting their lot with Satan. They are also doomed to failure. While individuals mired in deep sin and confusion deserve our compassion, the organized left's attempt to induce us into cultural suicide deserves our ridicule and our unyielding opposition. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Truths That Transform. I'm Frank Wright. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
Socialism is alive, though not well, in America.
Universal health care, according to every plan that we've seen from the left, would, by design, mandate government funding of abortion.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.